Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 280. Praise, my soul, the King of heaven. To his feet thy tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like us his promise, his praise should sing. Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Praise the everlasting King. Hymn number 280. Scriptural will be given by Dale from Virginia.
Psalm 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease.
Let's now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer. and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father,
who is art in heaven,
our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious,
hallowed be thy name,
adorable one,
thy kingdom come,
thy kingdom is come, thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation. But deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 163. Jesus, what precept is like thine? Forgive as ye would be forgiven. If heeded, oh, what power divine would then transform our earth to heaven. Hymn number 163.
Jesus.
welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church, Independent. We begin each Sunday morning here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, where we discuss this week's lesson, other subjects that need to be covered, and learn how to practice better Christian Science. And we had another really good one this morning. So if you missed it, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com. And it will also be available on our YouTube channel and our Vimeo channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets at 11. And that Sunday school is available to children just about anywhere. It has its own dedicated teleconference number. Many of our Sunday school students don't live in the area, and they participate on the telephone. So if you don't live in the area but have a child of Sunday school age, your child can also attend. Just call the church number. We'll give you the number for the Sunday school, and our Sunday school teachers will be very happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. We have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can hear or give a testimony of healing, where lives have been healed and made much better through the study and practice of Christian Science. And at all of our services, we have a nursery for infants and toddlers. So if you do show up in person, you can bring your whole family. We are, a reminder, we are going to have our next Bible study session this Saturday, May 17th, at 10 a.m. And I understand that the Bible study questions are now available on the church website. So mark your calendars and check the website, and please join us for a lively session. That's Saturday, May 17, at 10 a.m. Our outreach is through 18 different websites in 18 different languages. Our websites provide the very finest Christian Science literature in languages that reach people around the world. And we are very grateful for those who have found one or more of our websites and have found the healing truth of Christian Science in their own language. One of the articles that's currently featured on our English language website is one I'd like to point out, very appropriate for this week's lesson, entitled Some Wiles of the Devil by Edward A. Kimball. Short but very appropriate. And everything that's provided on our websites is free of charge. There is no charge to read, download, listen to anything on any of our websites. Freely we have received, and freely we give. And everyone is welcome here. And that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony of healing from the Christian Science textbook, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Tom from Iowa.
Page 602, Substance of Lungs Restored. It was about 15 years ago that Christian Science first came to my notice. At that time, I had been a chronic invalid for a good many years. I had acute bowel trouble, bronchitis, and a number of other troubles. One physician had told me that my lungs were like wet paper, ready to tear at any time, and I was filled with fear as my mother, two brothers, and a sister had been victims of consumption. I tried many physicians and every material remedy that promised help, but no help came until I found a copy of Mrs. Eddy's book, Science and Health. The book was placed in my hands by one who did not then appreciate it, and I was told that it would be hard for me to understand it. I commenced reading it with this thought, that I caught beautiful glimpses of truth, which took away my fear and healed me of all those diseases, and they have never returned. I would also like to tell how I was healed of a sprained ankle. The accident occurred in the morning, and all that day and during the night, I gave myself Christian Science treatment as best I could. The next morning, it seemed to be no better, being very sore, badly swollen, and much discolored. Feeling that I had done all I could, I decided to stop thinking about it. I took my copy of Science and Health and began reading. Very soon, I became so absorbed in the book that I forgot all about my ankle. It went entirely out of my thought, for I had a glimpse of all God's creation as spiritual, and for the time being lost sight of my material selfhood. After 2 hours, I laid the book down and walked into another room. When next I thought of my ankle, I found it was not hurting me. The swelling had gone down, the black and blue appearance had nearly vanished, and it was perfectly well. It was healed while I was absent from the body and present with the Lord. This experience was worth a great deal to me, for it showed me how the healing is done. C.H., Portland, Oregon.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and their correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts in their denominational, spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon can be found on page 10 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Everlasting Punishment. The golden text is from Proverbs. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. The responsive reading is from James. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations,
knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him.
Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man.
But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures.
Craig will now read
the Bible, Psalms. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Be ye not as the horse, or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest he come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Jeremiah. The word of which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. Luke. And Jesus answering spake. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will rise and go to my father. I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. 1 John. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ephesians. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you.
Elizabeth from Georgia will now read.
I will read correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Immortal man demonstrates the government of God good, in which is no power to sin. When man demonstrates Christian Science absolutely, he will be perfect. He can neither sin, suffer, be subject to matter, nor disobey the law of God. In Christian Science, a denial of truth is fatal. While a just acknowledgement of truth and of what it has done for us is an effectual help. If pride, superstition, or any error prevents the honest recognition of benefits received. This will be a hindrance to the recovery of the sick and the success of the student. Christian Science commands man to master the propensities, to hold hatred in abeyance with kindness, to conquer lust with chastity, revenge with charity, and to overcome deceit with honesty. Love is not hasty to deliver us from temptation, for love means that we shall be tried and purified. Sorrow for wrongdoing is but one step towards reform, and the very easiest step. The next and great step required by wisdom is the test of our sincerity, namely, reformation. To this end, we are placed under the stress of circumstances. Temptation bids us repeat the offense, and woe comes in return for what is done. So it will ever be, till we learn that there is no discount in the law of justice, and that we must pay the uttermost farthing. The measure ye meet shall be measured to you again, and it will be full and running over. Prayer is not to be used as a confessional to cancel sin. Such an error would impede true religion. Sin is forgiven only as it is destroyed by Christ, truth and life. If prayer nourishes the belief that sin is canceled and that man is made better merely by praying, prayer is an evil. He grows worse who continues in sin because he fancies himself forgiven. An apostle says that the Son of God, Christ, came to destroy the works of the devil. We should follow our divine exemplar and seek the destruction of all evil works, error and disease included. We cannot escape the penalty due for sin. The scriptures say that if we deny Christ, he also will deny us. Divine love corrects and governs man. Men may pardon, but this divine principle alone reforms the sinner. God is not separate from the wisdom he bestows. The talents he gives, we must improve. Calling on him to forgive our work badly done or left undone implies a vain supposition that we have nothing to do but to ask pardon, and that afterwards we shall be free to repeat the offense. To cause suffering as the result of sin is a means of destroying sin. Every supposed pleasure in sin will furnish more than its equivalent of pain, until belief in material life and sin is destroyed. To reach heaven, the harmony of being, we must understand the divine principle of being. The science of being unveils the errors of sense, and spiritual perception, aided by science, reaches truth. Then error disappears. Sin and sickness will abate and seem less real as we approach the scientific period, in which mortal sense is subdued and all that is unlike the true likeness disappears. The moral man has no fear that he will commit a murder, and he should be as fearless on the question of disease. We can and ultimately shall so rise as to avail ourselves in every direction of the supremacy of truth over error, life over death, and good over evil,
And this growth will go on until we arrive at the fullness of God's idea. And no more fear that we shall be sick and die. Here, Christian Science is the sovereign panacea, giving strength to the weakness of mortal mind, strength from the immortal and omnipotent mind, and lifting humanity above itself into pure desires, even into spiritual power and goodwill to man. If you believe in and practice wrong knowingly, you can at once change your course and do right. Matter can make no opposition to right endeavors against sin or sickness, for matter is inert, mindless. Also, if you believe yourself diseased, you can alter this wrong belief and action without hindrance from the body. Do not believe in any supposed necessity for sin, disease, or death, knowing, as you ought to know, that God never requires obedience to a so-called material law, for no such law exists. The divine demand, "Be ye therefore perfect," is scientific, and the human footsteps leading to perfection are indispensable. You command the situation if you understand that mortal existence is a state of self-deception and not the truth of being. Mortal mind is constantly producing on mortal body the results of false opinions, and it will continue to do so until mortal error is deprived of its imaginary powers by truth, which sweeps away the gossamer web of mortal illusion. The most Christian state is one of rectitude and spiritual understanding, and this is best adapted for healing the sick. The time approaches when mortal mind will forsake its corporeal, structural, and material basis, when immortal mind and its formations will be apprehended in science, and material beliefs will not interfere with spiritual facts. We must form perfect models in thought and look at them continually, or we shall never carve them out in grand and noble lives. Let unselfishness, goodness, mercy, justice, health, holiness, love, the kingdom of heaven, reign within us, and sin, disease, and death will diminish until they finally disappear.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 57. Father, to thee we turn away from sorrow. Thou art the fountain whence our healing flows. Dark though the night, joy cometh with the morrow. Safely they rest who on thy love repose. Hymn number 57.
Was great.
Let's now sing hymn number 394. Word of life, most pure, most strong, lo, for thee the nations long, spread till from its dreary night all the world awakes to light. Hymn number 394.
Oh, I will read from the Christian Science textbook, the scientific statement of being on the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter, or its infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, woman of love, the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because he knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that had this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. 1 John, and this is the record that God had given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Amen.